Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstances right now, God loves you, and you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. Let's jump in.
Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Marcus. I'm the lead pastor around here. We're so glad that you're with us, and it's going to be a fun day. How many people saw the UFO on Friday night over Southern California? Come on, raise your hand. Were you outside around 5:30-ish or something like that? You see this going across the night sky? This is the view from Disneyland, and there was this incredibly bizarre, weird thing that was streaking across the night sky. I thought for a second Santa was coming early, and Rudolph had gone Broken Arrow. You know, and it was just like kind of weird. We had all different kinds of people in our group that were trying to figure out what in the world it was. It actually was the SpaceX rocket launch, and it's like an amazing thing. Can I tell you what my honest to God my very first reaction when I saw that? What I thought it was. Have you ever seen those Skyrider things that were like the planes that go up and, you know, write things in the sky like "Will you marry me?" And I'm thinking, somebody's getting their money back, because that's a terrible Skyrider. Like, whoever was doing that is horrible. But it was a showstopper moment in the city. If you were out and about, and if you were watching social media at all around town, like, everybody's posting about it and all that kind of stuff, and it certainly was that for our tribe. And this amazing event that happens across the night sky. Now, on September 25th, 1976, there were four Irish teenagers who set out to make the world take notice. And ever since, they've been traveling the world in the name of love. And they've been singing about a place where the streets have no name. And they are the men of Rattle and Hum and Joshua Tree. And evidently, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Okay? They are the band U2. Now, I don't want to paint these four Irish guys as too big of heroes, even though they are the greatest band that has ever walked the face of planet Earth. I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I do enjoy their music. And I especially enjoy going and seeing these guys live. And a few years ago, Jen and I went to go see them at the Rose Bowl. And this is the picture of that moment. And they were actually going to be recording a live Blu-ray that night too. It's this really kind of cool deal, and it was this amazing show. There were 100,000 people in the Rose Bowl for this time, and it was just this incredible thing. But have you ever gone to a concert, and not only is the band singing, there's also this drunk guy that's sitting in the chair in back of you. He knows the words to every song, and he's singing at the top of his lungs. Has this ever happened to anybody? This always happens to me. And it was like I had built up this so much excitement and anticipation. It was like this lifetime bucket list experience. I'm going to go and worship Jesus with you two at the Rose Bowl. And I picked the one seat in that place that had a drunk guy in back that's singing in the name of love. And of course, he can't carry a tune in a bucket. He, you know, it's this sort of beer-soaked renditions of all great U2 songs. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, great. You know, me and the drunk guy. But as the evening was drawing to a close, something really kind of completely unexpected happened. Three out of the four Irishmen left the stage. Now, I'm thinking initially, like, this isn't supposed to happen. You've got 100,000 people here. They want you to sing some tunes. Why are you leaving the stage? And what are you guys doing? But what happened next, as Bono stepped to this one singular light, is something that I will never forget, because lights all across the Rose Bowl went black. And there's just this one pinpoint light. Bono stepped to the stage and began to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And do you know, as he started to sing, the rest of the 100,000 people in the concert, they began to sing at the top of their lungs too. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The drunk guy too. He was in there. He's listening at the top of their lungs. But then all of a sudden, as we all began to sing in pitch black, there was down below on the bottom one solitary little cell phone light flicked on, followed by another, and then this cascade of pinpoint little cell phone lights went across this entire sea of 100,000 people. There's this tidal wave of like pinpoint luminaries that were shimmering all across the place, and the lights punctuated the darkness. It looked just like this. And they continue to sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I was like, I didn't know I was going to church. And it was this amazing, amazing experience. It was one voice who then was joined by tens of thousands of others. There was one little pinpoint light down front all by itself for a moment, then joined by tens of thousands of other lights. And do you know what it is that I remember the most about this night? It wasn't all of the darkness of the auditorium. It wasn't even the drunk guy singing behind me. God bless him. It was the lights. It was this moment of recognition that, you know, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, light always overcomes it. And this is the story of Christmas. This is the story of Jesus, of God incarnate come. And I want to read you kind of the classic story of the arrival of Jesus out of Luke chapter 2. It'll be on the side screens. If you'd like to read it in your outline, you can too. But it starts in verse 8, and it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was as though the angel was having his Bono moment, and he's declaring good news, and then he's joined by tens of thousands of other angels doing the exact same. Now, twice here in this passage of scripture, we are told to behold. You notice that? Behold. Now, behold is kind of an ancient word. I don't know the last time you used behold. You know, just in your everyday, ordinary language. You know, last thing you went to, you know, Target with your kids, you're like, behold, the dollar bin, right? You know, like, whatever it might be. You wake up and your spouse and you're like, behold, the sexiest man alive, right? You may not do this. My wife's kind of into that, so that's how I start my day. But we don't use the word behold all that much. What does behold actually mean? Well, behold means to see or to observe something that is particularly remarkable or impressive. It's the, you gotta check this out word. And twice in the pages of this little story, we're being told to behold something. You gotta check this thing out. Something here is impressive. It's taking note of a person or an event that you're gonna be talking about for a long time. And what happened at the first Christmas night in this arrival of light, though it was small in baby form, was this remarkable, impressive event. The angel said, it's a good tiding. There's great joy here. There's a light in the darkness that just showed up. You have got to come see this. And this light of Jesus shows up to people who were sitting in the dark And honestly, the shepherds, I think, are really just emblematic of what was really going on across the entire world. There was a world full of people who were sitting there in the dark. They're longing for something to maybe be brighter. I'm stumbling around in my difficulty, in my struggle. It feels dark. It's all get out. And I wish that it could be more. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt like it could be brighter? Like, would somebody just like flick on the light switch? Because I'm struggling over here. You're living and working. You're trying to just make your way through the life, but it just feels dark sometimes. And there's something merrier and brighter that you wish would show up. And I just want to let you know, if that's ever been you, and I think that's kind of a common struggle for human beings. So you're in good company if that's how you would describe yourself even now. That if that's like you, the Christmas story is for you. I just want to encourage it. The Christmas story can be you today. And so I want to talk just in three kind of simple, but I think are pretty profound thoughts. I want to talk today about this hope that the angels wanted the shepherds to behold. Like, you got to check this out because this good news is for you too. So how can we become merry and bright this year? Three simple quick thoughts for you. Here's the first one. You got to look for the light that's already shining around you. Look for the light already shining. Because darkness can never overcome light. Have you noticed that? It never has and it never will. And there is a light shining all around you. You have to look for it. Luke 2 verse 8, one more time, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." These guys are in the dark. And it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them." And now underline this part. "And the glory of the Lord shone around them." Light shines all around. Now, can I just tell you that sometimes my perspective in life needs to shift? Am I by myself? Like, sometimes I get my eyesight focused on the wrong thing. But here's the deal, is that I usually see what I'm looking at. I don't see what I'm not looking at, but I do see what I am looking at. And a couple of times this past Christmas season, Jen and I have taken our four kids to go see the Christmas lights. We even did it again last night. We just can't get enough of this stuff, okay? And do you know what I have seen every single time I've gone to the Christmas lights? Christmas lights. That's what I've seen when I've gone. It's Christmas lights. You could probably relate to that. Now, there's lots of other stuff that's going around too, but do you know that I never really paid much attention to all of the darkness around, even though I go at night? You know why you go at night? Because Christmas lights are stupid at noon, right? But at night, they're awesome. And every time, even though I've gone at night, I'm not paying attention to the night. I'm focused on the lights. That's what you do. On Friday night, when hundreds of thousands of San Diegans are staring up into the sky, what were they looking at? They're looking at the really cool, funky UFO light. There's not one person. I literally read scores of posts about it. I didn't hear one person mention how deep blue the night sky was. Everybody's focused on the cool light thing that's out there. Are you following me? Sometimes my perspective can lean toward the dark, and when I look for the dark, I see dark. But when I go looking for the light, I end up seeing the light. It kind of works that way. And so I just want to encourage you, because you know what? I've been a pastor now for a long time. I used to have hair. I don't anymore. But this can be a really tough time of year for a lot of people. We talk about merry and bright. We talk about festivities and joy and happiness. But I just know from experience that this is perhaps the most difficult time of the year for a lot of people, because this is the time of year that doesn't remind you of all the things that you have. It can remind some of us of the things that we've lost. We've lost family members or friends or relationships that used to be. The dreams or hopes that we wish would have come into fruition, but they didn't. And it can be a real struggle. And so if you're here, I just want you to know that I understand. And it can be very, very dark. I get that. But do you know why it is that we celebrate Christmas at this time of year? You may not know this. Christmas has been celebrated at this time of year since the time of the Emperor Constantine in 336 AD. That's when Christmas started. And what you may not know is why they chose this time of year to celebrate Christmas. Did you know that they decided to put this celebration of the light of Jesus coming at the darkest time of the year? Did you know that December 21st is the winter solstice? It's the time when the day is the shortest and the night is the longest. It is the darkest that it's going to get all year long on December 21st. And that's when they chose to place this celebration of Christmas. Why? Because as dark as our world can sometimes feel, it is this amazing reminder that doesn't matter how dark it gets, the light always overcomes the dark. The arrival of Jesus, this good tiding of heaven, means that his light is now shining around you. May feel dark, but there's light shining somewhere. All you have to do is go look for him. That's why the angel said, "Behold, you got to check this out." Here's number two. Look what God has done. Look at it. Luke 2:10, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold,'" circle behold, "'I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" God didn't just drop his joy package on a select group of people. His extravagant, life-giving joy is for everybody. And Jesus didn't just come so that, as a baby, so that he would remain cute and cuddly forevermore. Okay? There's only a few of us who pray to dear Lord baby Jesus. Okay? He actually came not to be some sort of postcard of a nice idea or sort of the myth of Christmas. He came, the angel said, to be the Savior, Christ the Lord. He came, born in a manger, always with the intention to sacrifice himself for your sin. Did you know that? In fact, that is the good news. You may have heard people talk about the gospel or the good news, and it is this. It's not just that God loves you, although he does in inexpressible ways. The good news is that that love meant that he was willing to sacrifice himself for you. Look at what God has done. That's pretty massive. And so do you see how when we're sitting in the darkness of our life and Jesus shows up to save us and ransom us from that position and that place, we can stand back and go like, man, there is light shining around me. I didn't do a thing. You notice those shepherds didn't earn or deserve anything about this amazing advent of light. They were just hanging in the dark. And because of God's love, he showed up shining all around them. He said, "You got to check this out. Behold and look at what God has done." And then here's number three. We got to look to his good intentions for you. You make the choice of the decision to look toward his good intentions. I think some of us really struggle here. Because for whatever reason, we doubt that in fact God is good. That he has good intentions for us. And even if we can begin to wrap our minds around the idea that God loves us, a lot of us go, well, he might love me, but he is at the very least disappointed in me. But that's not the picture of the Jesus who came on Christmas. Look at verse 14. It says, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Did you catch that? He has goodwill toward you. God has good intentions for you. That's great news. And some of us need to be reminded of that. Look at what Jeremiah 29:11 says. This is a famous passage of Scripture. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So here's what I want you to catch, is that if you could somehow peer into the thoughts of God, if you could climb up high enough to kind of get like sort of eye to eye with him and peer down into what he thinks about you, what you would see is that his thoughts towards you are tremendous. There's peace and hope for your future. That's how he sees you. You would see that God's intentions for you are good and that he desires to shine a light right in the middle of all of the darkness that holds you and I back. But the truth is that We could never climb high enough to peer into the thoughts of God, as magnanimous as they are for you. We can't get up to his level. That's why God said, I got a great idea. I will show them how great my intentions are for them by sending Jesus right down to where they're at. Let's go. Hey, you guys, let's go meet him in the darkest pasture we can find. I see a bunch of guys, they're hanging out with stinky sheep. Let's go there. And not just one of them, like one of them beat everybody there and said, hey, behold, all that stuff. And then everybody else shows up and says, no, you got to check this out, man. That God's intentions for you are so good. He wrote love in glorious billboard terms. He transformed what was dark into something that is gloriously bright. I want you to look at Josh's story. Check this out.
I grew up immersed in religious tradition, where what I did for God was what made me valuable. Doing became my identity, but that pressure left me feeling less than, and year upon year, I kept trying to live up to perfection, and of course, I could never deliver. And then it came all crashing down on me. Life wasn't going the way I planned. My faith was gone, relationships weren't working out, and I was left jobless because of knee-jerk decisions running from a standard I could never live up to. I hit rock bottom, and I felt the God I thought I knew had forgotten about me. I came to a place where I wore the labels quitter, loser, not good enough, stupid, unloved, and alone. And I would wear these labels for a long time as I struggled with where I was headed or who I was. My struggles became my identity. After a hard conversation with a close friend, I decided to come back to the place where I had encountered the God I knew so much about. I decided to open up scripture, read, sit at Jesus' feet, and learn from him. A question that soon became my focus was, God, what are you teaching me? What is the purpose to my pain? And as I spent time with God, this is how he answered. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The ground beneath you is crumbling, so here's a rock for you to stand on. My grace is sufficient for you. And God came down to my level. He held my face and he said, I'm here, I love you, and I'm never gonna stop loving. That was the moment God did something brand new in me. God's light interrupted in the middle of my darkness. My focus shifted in a moment of an encounter with God. No longer was I centered on my failures, mess ups, the pain I faced from time to time. Now what I see is centered on the God who controls the universe, every aspect of my life, someone who accepts me, loves me, and forgives me just as I am. God took the broken strings of my heart and began to play beautiful music again. Life is more colorful now. Life in a brand new way is worth living. I no longer find my identity in what I do or the mistakes I've made. My identity is found in him. Today, I'm restored, transformed, forgiven, and loved. Today, I see the light in a brand new, glorious way. And just look at what God has done.
John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. Watch this. The darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. Behold, and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. He is full of grace and truth. I want to tell you, encourage you, this Christmas, there is already light shining around you. Behold, Look at what God has done. And if you hear nothing else that is said here today, hear this. God has good intentions for you. Did you hear me? God has good intentions for you. And your darkness does not stand a chance in the face of His glorious light. All you need to do is make room in your heart for Him. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's the choice you'd like to make, and you're here and you say, man, I feel like I'm sitting in the dark. It can't get much darker. But man, if there's a chance that this Jesus is real and He wants to come and shine His grace in my life, I will make room for Him. If you could agree with a little prayer that just said, Jesus, I invite You to come in, to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sin, to make my life brand new, to shine Your light in me, come and make Your home inside. If that is a prayer that you could agree with today, I just want you to know that just by that confession, inviting Jesus as Lord to come into your life just became new. You just became a child of God. That expression of faith. And so I'm gonna pray for you in just a moment. We're done. But before we go, I want to pray for those of you that have made that choice and that decision in particular today. And the Bible says that while it is a personal decision, is not a private decision. It's actually a public one. But here's how we do it around here, because I'm not going to draw any attention to you whatsoever. I would never embarrass you in any way, because everybody's head is bowed and eyes are closed. I'm the only one looking around. So why don't you let me be your public? Okay? And if that's a choice you're making to say, Jesus, I want You to come into my life, would you just slip up your hand just real quick, maybe make some eye contact with me and say, yep, that's the choice I'm making. I see you back there. Awesome. Great. Two hands. Yes. Who else? Come and see what God has done. Anybody else? I'll wait just a moment longer. Great choice. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank You today that You came and You sent Your Son as the light in our darkness to transform our lives. We can now live merry and bright in Your presence because of what You have done. Thank You today. And we invite You to come in a fresh way into our hearts, into our whole mindsets this holiday season, that, Lord, You would be elevated, that You would be honored, You would be invited right into the center of our lives today. We glorify You and worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person, or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.